As I mentioned, our Sunday match will be Spurs and Manchester United, Chelsea and Newcastle Saturday. Peter Drury will have the call of both matches on Sportsnet. And guess what? Peter Drury joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Peter, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you for your patience. My clock management today is brutal, so we're going to run through this very, very quickly. It's Friday. I give myself one day a week where I screw up my clock management.
I have more days than that, Jeff.
I know. Well, let's just go. We'll start with your favorite and work backwards. No, actually, I do want to talk about Spurs and Manchester United. It's going to be a great match, but also the side story of Maurizio Pochettino and Manchester United. You know, as a Manchester United fan, I mean, we've had this discussion in the office a lot, and you know, the thing I like about Maurizio Pochettino more than anything else is he seems to have an ability to develop young English players. And I'm not getting all parochial here, but I think if you're going to be a solid team in the Premiership, you've got to be able to develop young English players. For whatever reason, he has a knack for doing that. So I'll just ask you, how is he approaching this match, and how are Tottenham and Man U approaching this match, knowing that that storyline is out there?
Well, of course, this is media narrative, Jeff, isn't it? And it's the sort of thing that keeps you and I in work, this sort of talk. I think I'm right in saying that insofar as they possibly can be, both Manchester United and Tottenham are attempting to be oblivious to the whole of this debate. That is to say that Pochettino is entirely focused on attempting to win the Premier League for Tottenham, because let's not forget that they are the third horse in a three-horse race. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that Tottenham could be the champions. And that, of course, is the crowning glory that he seeks more than anything. And Manchester United do actually have an interim manager at the moment that everybody absolutely adores, mm-hmm. and who has won every game he's been in charge of. So the distraction, if you like, of the Pochettino-Manchester United story isn't, from their perspective, even that delicious though it is, for those of us who observe and chatter about the game.
What has happened to Paul Pogba under Solskjaer? I mean, he looks like... Look, I watched him in the World Cup, and I mean, I've always been a Paul Pogba fan. I just have, and I watched him in the World Cup, and he was playing with joy. I mean, he was so effective. What has happened tactically that has brought him back into things at Man U? Or is that just an emotional thing, you know, an emotional and a mental thing?
Jeff, I think you've just nailed it there. You nailed it. He's playing with joy. That's what's happened. He's playing with joy. He is allowed to be on the front foot again. He is playing with expression. He's playing with a natural verve. He's exhibiting all of the talent that he has. Now, we're all probably slightly bored now of the Jose Mourinho debate, so I won't go too deeply into that. But you can view that through the perspective of the management change, and that's frankly the most obvious way to view it, and to say Mourinho, as it were, had him chained up, and Solskjaer has undone the padlock. Or you could be critical of Pogba and say, listen, you are an extremely talented sportsman who is paid an extraordinary amount of money. Where have you been? You know, that has not been good enough. And now all of a sudden it is. And even if you didn't like the previous coach, sorry, that's no excuse. They're, you know, Manchester United fans might feel an entitlement to stare at Paul Pogba a bit and say, hey, you've been shortchanging us. I don't think they will, because they are so delighted to, quote, have him back. Mm-hmm. And you know, he is playing some wonderful, wonderful stuff. I think the next one, I mean, I don't want to preempt your question, but the next one I'm going to be really interested in over the coming weeks, if he gets the opportunity, is Alexis Sanchez, who, mm-hmm. of course, is another prodigiously talented player for whom, for whatever reason, it didn't happen under Mourinho. And if it did happen now, you know, and Manchester United finally got the player they thought they'd bought, what a formidable front line they would suddenly have.
Peter, we just have a few minutes left, but I did want to ask you about the other match, Chelsea and Newcastle. We're in the transfer window right now. As I look at the Premiership, Chelsea of sort of the bigger teams, They seem to me to be the team that is positioned to be the most changed after the window. If you hear, you know, pay attention to rumors about them looking for a striker, about Willian possibly being of interest to teams. Do you view them as the team that has to do something, that absolutely has to do something in the window?
I think that is the overwhelming feeling, yeah. It's a shame, you know. In little purple patches, Alvaro Morata has actually done very well for Chelsea. I think it would be unfair to describe his spell there as a flop or a failure. But the standards of a striker at a top four or six club are very, very high. And the guy does seem to have a shortage of confidence at the moment, a shortage of goals correspondingly. There's talk about Gonzalo Higuain, who, of course, was a great ally of Sarri's at Napoli, coming in soon. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. And, of course, the other interesting one, especially from the perspective, to go back to where you began the conversation, of young British players, is Callum Hudson-Odoi, who Bayern Munich appeared openly, publicly, to be coveting at the moment. And lovers of good young English players are hoping he stays with Chelsea. And certainly Chelsea fans are too, because on the occasions he's had a chance to glitter a bit, he has done. And if Willian is on his way, then Hudson-Odoi would seem to be just the sort of candidate to fill those boots.